friendship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, a familiar one for many of you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. We began looking at this verse last Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's going to be talked about a lot today as Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church continues with our series, Seeking God for a Breakthrough. He's going to give a great illustration of using our hands to help us learn who to pray for and what to pray for. So I know there's going to be a blessing in store for you and some great points of application as we learn about not worrying about anything, but praying about everything, thanking God in all things, and staying focused on the true things. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church as we look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8.
And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, Paul says, under the inspiration of God, there are four things you need to do if you're going to have a breakthrough. Let me read you that passage, okay? Put it on the screen. Here's what Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says. Don't worry about anything, but pray instead in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. So he says, don't worry, but instead he's saying pray. And he says, you do it with thanksgiving. And he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is the peace that passes understanding? The peace that passes understanding means I'm at peace and there's no really reasonable reason for it. I'm just at peace. I'm in the middle of the storm. Everything's falling apart around me, but I'm at peace. That's when you have the peace that passes understanding. There's no logical, rational explanation. It's the peace that comes from God. It's not I'm at peace because of this or that or this or that. It's I'm at peace, the peace that passes understanding. There's no reason why I should be calm. There's no reason why I should not be stressed by that, but I'm not. Why? Because I didn't worry about anything, but I put my request before God. And then he says this, then fix your thoughts. That's focus. Fix your thoughts on things that are true, because there's a lot of lies around, and honorable and right. And think about things. This is a mental thing. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. And then he says, and fill your mind. So he says, fix your thoughts, think about things, and fill your mind with thoughts that are excellent and worthy of praise. That passage, friends, gives you the four habits that'll change your life. It gives you the four habits that will give you a breakthrough. And I don't know where you need a breakthrough, but it doesn't matter to me. If you'll do these four things, you'll have a breakthrough. Now, here are the four simple habits. They're simple, but they're not easy to do. Here's the first one. Don't worry about anything. Now, that sounds difficult, but actually, when you learn how fasting breaks worry in your life, you'll understand. Don't worry about anything. Second, he says, pray about everything. You know, if you prayed as much as you worry, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. And worry doesn't change anything, but prayer does. And then he says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. He says, in everything, give thanks. Did you know that gratitude is the breakthrough attitude? I'll say it again. Gratitude is the breakthrough attitude. It is what gives you, the more grateful you are, the more breakthroughs you're going to have in life. And then number four, he says, stay focused on true things. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. Stay focused on true things. Every day you have to counteract the lies that you hear around you with a daily intake of God's truth. Now let's look at these four habits for breakthrough according to Philippians chapter 4. Number one, first God says, don't worry about anything. You right now, write that down. Don't worry about anything. Philippians 4:6 says, that very thing. Don't worry about anything. The Amplified Translation says, don't fret, don't fear, Don't have any anxiety. That may be the single most difficult command in the Bible to keep. Every one of us have broken that commandment. Maybe you haven't murdered, or maybe you haven't committed adultery, but that one's right there in the Bible, along with don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't murder, don't commit adultery. God says, don't worry. You break that commandment all the time. And it's in our nature to naturally worry. Jesus said it like this. Look here on the screen, Matthew 6:34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The reason why we mess up today is because we spend most of our emotional energy regretting the past and worrying about the future. And so we mess up today. It's like three crosses. And you can crucify yourself on guilt and shame and regret from the past, or you can crucify yourself on the cross of worry and anxiety and fear about the future. And as a result, you crucify yourself on the cross today, a messing up today. Worry has never changed anything. Worry is worthless. Worry is a form of control. We think if we worry about our kids, that then they'll be safer. Worry has no effect. It's stewing without doing. Worry is worthless. It can't control, it can't change the past. It can't control the future. Worry can only mess up today. It can only make you unhappy today. Every moment of your life you spend worrying, you're wasting that moment. Now, as I said, if you prayed as much as you worried, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. God says, I don't want you worrying because it doesn't work. It's stewing without doing. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. It's a lot of motion and commotion, but no forward progress. Now, what is worry? You might write this definition down. Worry is focusing on my fears instead of God. That's what it is. Worry is focusing on my fears instead of God. Worry is practical atheism. When you worry, you're acting like an orphan. You're acting like you don't have a heavenly father who's promised to care for your needs. You're acting like if it's to be, it's up to me. That's not in the Bible. That's in self-help books. It's not true. If it's to be, it's up to God. And so when you worry, you're acting like your father in heaven doesn't care about you, that he hasn't promised over 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 promises to you. So worry is focusing on my fears instead of God. And if you're going to break that habit of worry in your life, you're going to have to learn how to focus on something else. Fasting can actually help you do that, and so can prayer. Now here's what the Bible says, Romans 8, verse 6. Thinking that is controlled by my sinful nature leads to death, but thinking controlled by the Spirit leads to life and peace. So you have to choose your focus. If I'm going to think the way I normally think, I'm going to get worried, I'm going to get fearful, I'm going to get anxious, I'm going to have anxiety because I'm controlled by my sinful nature. But when I'm focused on God and I have God's Spirit in me, now I don't worry. And that leads to life and peace. So the key to overcoming worry is not to say, I'm not going to worry, I'm not going to worry. That doesn't work. That's like smoking a cigarette and go, I need to stop smoking. 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 What are you doing? The whole time you're focusing on what you don't want. It's like telling a ball pitcher, don't throw a curveball. Well, now what have you just put in his mind? A curveball. He's focusing on what he doesn't want instead of what he does want. And so saying, don't worry, I'm not going to worry, it keeps you focused on your worries. The key is to just change the channel. Don't resist it, refocus. That's how you get rid of worry. You don't resist worry, I'm not going to worry. You refocus, and you put your focus on God. You do that through prayer and fasting. Now, how do I switch my focus? Write this down. By fasting and prayer, or by prayer and fasting. When you switch your focus by fasting, you're saying, God, I'm going to focus on you. And when you pray, you're saying, God, I'm going to focus on you. You don't have time to worry. Do you remember what Daniel did when he was worried? Anybody remember Daniel? You better. We just spent 10 weeks on that guy. Okay. You better remember Daniel. And remember in chapter 9, the last message, the kingdom's falling apart. Babylon's falling apart. He's a prisoner of war there, but he's grown up now. He's an older man. The Medes and the Persians are taking over, and he's worried. But he didn't stay worried very long. Why? He did what David did, what Jehoshaphat did, and what Paul tells you to do. Look at this next verse, Daniel 9, verse 3. He says, I turned to the Lord. That's, I switched my focus. I turned to the Lord, and I pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. That's how you stop worry. You get the focus off the problem, and you get the focus on God. You know that when Daniel was there praying, and then the king, Cyrus, said some of the Jews can go back, and he started letting them go back home. Remember, they had been promised that after 70 years, God said, I'm going to let you go back home. One of the guys who helped lead the Jews back to Israel was a guy named Ezra. He wrote a book in the Bible. It's called Ezra. And in Ezra 8, verse 23, they were all worried as they're going back home after 70 years. And it says this, we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. I want you to circle the word our. He heard our prayer. Not my prayer. He said our prayer. They're praying together. There is power in group prayer. There is power in seeking God together. There is power in a church praying together, church-wide, or fasting church-wide. So that's the first habit. And the Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Now, you guys remember the Bob Dylan song, Turn, 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 you know, which came from this passage, and Judy Collins and the Byrds, and a lot of people covered that Dylan song, which is just the passage of Ecclesiastes 3. It says, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest. There's a time to weep, there's a time to rejoice. There's a time to dance, there's a time to mourn. Life is full of opposites. And it says there's a right time to do everything. And there is a time to feast, and there is a time to fast. Joel chapter 1, look it on the screen here, verse 14. Schedule a time to fast. Well, we did. It's going to be Monday. Call for an assembly. In other words, gather everyone together and cry out to the Lord for help. There is power in group prayer. Now, that's the first habit. Worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything. Here's the second habit. Write this down. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. There's nothing too small to pray about. There's nothing too big to pray about. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. If it's worth worrying about, then it's worth praying about. You mean I can pray about, I don't have money to pay for my kids' braces? Yes, you can pray about that. My face is broken out. Can I pray about that? You can pray about that. My back is out. You can pray about that. There is nothing too small. There are no big requests to God, and there are no small requests to God. God says you can pray about anything. And this is the second part of the verse. Philippians 4, 6, part B. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And just tell God what you need. Look at this next verse. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Now, what is that verse saying? Either you can carry all your worries or you can let God carry them. It's up to you. If you want to carry all your worries, you can live under the stress. God says, why are you carrying those worries? I'd happily carry them for you. Let me carry your worries. Let me carry your cares. Let me carry your anxieties because I care for you. So in the second step, instead of worrying, you pray. And you go, God, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to let you carry the worries, and I'm just going to talk to you about them. Now, I want to teach you a simple way to pray, and you can remember this. You can actually memorize this by using your hands. Notice this next verse. Psalm 88, verse 9 says, Lord, every day I lift my hands to you in prayer, and I call to you. I lift my hands in prayer to you. Okay, everybody put your pencil down for just a minute, okay? And put your hands like this, like you're praying. Okay, I'm going to teach you what each of these fingers stand for. Okay, put like that. So this is lifting your hands in prayer to God. Okay, this is also lifting your hands in prayer to God. But this is lifting your hands in prayer. By the way, if you do this, you know, it makes a heart. So that's the heart of prayer right there. Okay, so I'm going to teach you the five fingers on your left hand represent who to pray for, and the five fingers on your right hand represent what you should pray. If you remember these, then you're going to remember them. You can do this three times a day in like 5 minutes. It'd be real easy. You'll fill up. Say, I can't pray for 5 minutes. If you know what this is, you'll remember it. Now, notice as you hold your hands like this, what's closest to your heart? Your thumbs. See that? See how your thumbs are closest to your heart? Okay, remember that because we're going to come back to it in just a minute. All right? Pick up your pen again. Let's go for the left hand. The left hand teaches us who to pray for. And here's how it goes. Watch this. The thumb that's closest to me, okay, that's the thing that's closest to my heart. You pray for family and friends. Your thumb represents your family and friends, because when you're praying, your thumb is closest to your heart. And the people closest to your heart are your family and your friends. So you pray first for your family and your friends, all right? That's the closest to you. Now, the next, see this finger right here? Look up here. See, that's the index finger, okay? That points the way. It points the way. You're like, there, there. Where do you go? You go that way. This represents teachers and leaders. Teachers in your life and leaders in your life point the way. They say, that's the way you need to go. These are the guides in your life. And the Bible says you need to pray for the teachers in your life and the leaders in your life because they point the way in your life. By the way, this can also mean you need to not do that. So this finger is also used to correct you. You know, remember when your mom as a kid go, now don't do that. So it's not only pointing the way, but it's also for correction. And teachers and leaders help correct you and tell you which way. Nah, you're hitting the wrong way. That's the wrong way. Don't go that way. Go that way. Okay? So I pray for the people closest to my heart, family and friends, and I pray for teachers and leaders who help lead me, direct me, point the way. Okay? The third finger, this is the tallest finger you have. Okay? And who are the people in, or the tallest here, these are the people who stand out in society. These are the influencers. So write down the word influencers. The Bible says we're to pray for the people who influence the world. Because we want people influencing for good, not for bad. And if we get the wrong influence, society goes down. We get the right influence, society goes up. But these people, they stand out in a crowd. They're tall. Who are the influencers in our society today? Athletes, movie stars, musicians, artists, sports heroes. We need to pray. Do you pray for those celebrities? Do you pray for prominent people in the world? The Bible says you should so that you can have an easier life. And the Bible says we're to pray for those who stand out, those who are in authority, those who influence, because it gives us an easier life, all right? So my family and friends, my teachers and my leaders, the people who influence the world and who make life either better or worse. Now, the fourth finger, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but this is your weakest finger. You can't hold anything with this finger. It's really pretty weak. This is pray for the weak. It's pray for the sick when they're sick. You should pray for sick people. You pray for poor people. This is the finger that represents children. Pray for children. They're too weak on their own. They need adult guidance. This is pray for elderly people who are too weak, who can't take care of themselves anymore. Maybe they're in a rest home or whatever. This is for people who are handicapped. Any kind of weakness, a mental weakness, a physical weakness, a handicap, an emotional weakness, any kind of weakness. So I pray for my family and friends. I pray for my teachers and leaders. I pray for the people in the world who influence it for good or bad. We want them to influence for good. And then I pray for the weak. I pray for the poor. The Bible says to pray for the poor and to pray for the sick. And if you have somebody get sick, you pray for them. And if you get sick, we should pray for you. Okay? Now, the last one, the littlest finger, that represents me, myself. I pray for myself last. After I pray for everybody else, I pray for myself last. Now, it's okay to pray for yourself. I pray for my own needs. And you want to pray for your own needs too. But I don't start selfishly. I start thinking about everybody else. And that's who to pray for. Now, if you spent, 20 seconds on each of those, that's going to take up some time right there. All right? Now, what do you pray? That's your right hand. And each of these fingers represent five things to pray for, okay?
And those five things to pray for will be addressed tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And I'll give you a sneak preview in a minute, but let's recap. Who are we to pray for? Beginning with your thumb for family and friends, and your index finger, which will remind us to pray for the teachers and leaders in our lives. Then the tallest finger, that middle finger, It's to remind us of the influencers, those that are maybe sports figures or heroes, actors, musicians, people that are influencers. And then the ring finger, the weak, those that are sick or poor, children. We bring those up before the Lord and pray for them. And then the small finger, you pray for yourself. You pray for the needs you have. That's not being selfish. God loves you and He delights in answering your prayers. And if you were a father or mother and your child came up and asked for a special request, if it was a good thing, you would certainly want to answer and encourage and bless them. Now tomorrow, a little bit of a sneak preview. We're going to learn what to pray for, and we'll begin again with the thumb, which is closest to your heart. So you're going to pray for your heart, because out of the heart comes the wellspring of life. There's so many verses about the heart, so you'll pray for your own heart. And then your index finger, you're going to pray for priorities in your schedule. So when you wake up each day, Lord, order my steps. Help me with my schedule. Help me place priorities in line. Help me accomplish your will. And then the tallest finger, you'll pray for your influence, how you can impact the world as you go wherever you go. And then your ring finger, you're going to pray for relationships, friendships, family members, those you're in contact with. And then your small finger, you're going to pray for the material needs you have, blessings on your life, your needs, the things that you have to have. And so that'll be tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And we'll continue learning about thanking God in all things and then writing out a list and giving God a thanksgiving offering and stay focused on true things. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to listen to it again or pick up what was covered last week, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and you can listen to any program basically for the last like 13 years. But you can pick up on the special series titled Seeking God for a Breakthrough by Pastor Rick Warren. I just so appreciate his teaching style, his points of application, his sense of humor, and how structured and organized his thinking is, so we can walk through this outline together. And he brings so many great scriptures to mind, especially this Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.